Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. One of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. The problem is Americans are not using the checks and balances we've been given. Tragic, to say the least. A quick recap of yesterday's show, and then straight to our guest. We had on Chris Carlson first hour. We talked about all things related to liberty. We talked about his incredible column, More Cleverly Disguised, is the name of his article. More Cleverly Disguised. And he basically talks about the secret combinations by evil, wicked men and women lording over the people, destroying liberty. More cleverly disguised. Great point, isn't it? We also dovetailed that article with Chuck Baldwin's latest article, The Mark of the Beast Runs Through the Church. Chuck Baldwin, quote, "As I have said repeatedly," says Chuck, and I will say it again, the entire COVID narrative, ladies and gentlemen, entire, including mass social distancing, forced lockdowns, now, what do they call these things, mandatory vaccine passports, etc., is a totalitarian tool designed by Satan. It's the spirit of Antichrist as a launching pad for complete turning us all into slaves. Imagine that. A launching pad for global enslavement. It talks about the mark of the beast. Great column by Chuck. And the problem is these vaccines are not even approved by the FDA. The very best thing you can say about the COVID vaccines is they are experimental at best. Anybody who receives one of these injections is flat out a human guinea pig. No one really even knows what the long-term effects on these vaccines will really be. Thousands of healthy people, believe it or not, have already died after taking the vaccines, and tens of thousands of people have already been injured. Not to mention, the science behind this virus has not even been substantiated. Never mind all that, right? Hundreds of medical doctors, scientists, health professionals, and others are saying that most of the debate around the vaccines and the virus is hyperbole, to say the least. The debate rages on, but really we got to talk about Republicans versus woke corporations, a losing battle. That's kind of part of the issue as well. So we talked in detail with Chris Carlson about those details. Second hour, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley to Preserve the Nation, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website. We talked about eternal vigilance is required to preserve and maintain liberty. We talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, what it means to be ready. We talked about it's time to go to work, pray hard, and then lift where you stand. We got a lot of work to do in America, I'll tell you that right now. But some are now saying that, hey, the vaccines are flat out the mark of the beast in the Bible. I don't know that we have evidence that that's all true, but certainly they are using it to destroy liberty. That's beyond debate. Without further ado, let's jump into it with our guest, Becky Akers. Welcome back. It's been a long time.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
By the way, Becky Akers is the author of a couple of incredible books. First one's Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots to ever live. The second one is Abducting Arnold, the revolutionary new novels by them before they're banned. Abducting Arnold is the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you probably haven't heard much about. Very interesting indeed. Anyway, we'll highlight those novels through the broadcast. But Becky, what do you think? Chuck Baldwin now saying flat out the COVID-19 pandemic lie, the vaccine lie, everything surrounding it really is smacks of the mark of the beast. Your thoughts?
I have heard that not only from Mr. Baldwin, but from a number of other commentators too. And it's always difficult to understand biblical prophecy. I think all we need to do is look back at the Jewish nation when Christ was on earth and how badly they had misinterpreted biblical prophecy about the Messiah. So I am reluctant to say very definitively, yes, it's the mark of the beast. No, it's not the mark of the beast. I think that we should have some humility when we approach biblical prophecy and understand that there are more than a few ways of looking at it. It's fascinating, Sam. I've had the privilege of attending various denominations, churches from various denominations in Christendom. And I've attended churches that preached Revelation and other biblical passages, the passages in Daniel and in Matthew about the end times. I have heard pre-tribulational preaching. I've heard pre-millennial preaching. Some churches are very, very set on these. I've also attended Anglican churches where they consider Revelation to be not prophetic, but actually retrospective, where they look back at church history and they read church history into Revelation. So I'm not able to say definitively, yes, it's the mark of the beast. No, it isn't. But I do know it is totally satanic. It is totally evil. One of the things you'll come away from the Bible, from reading the Bible, is that the Lord is very much in love with liberty. He does not force us to love him on this earth. And I think one of the reasons he created free will and honors liberty so much is that that is the only situation in which love can flourish. We can only truly love one another when the government isn't compelling us to do so. And one of the things that government is really good at is compelling welfare, compelling charity, so that Christians wind up resenting, rightfully so, people who are stealing their money from them. And they blame the recipients, and rightfully so. You have now turned charity into theft when you put the government in charge of dispensing what the church and individual Christians should be dispensing. So that all aside, what we are witnessing now is unmitigated evil. It's unprecedented. It is an attempt to end liberty everywhere on planet Earth. We know that this is straight from the pit of hell. Because again, the Lord loves liberty. He gave it to us to be a cherished gift. I would say that after salvation, liberty is more important than physical life itself. Because without liberty, life isn't worth living.
There you have it, Becky Akers. I completely agree. And I can't say whether it's the mark of the beast or not. But here's what I can say. You know, I don't know everything, but I'm 50 plus years old. I've been on the radio for almost 30 years, over 25 years. And I look at all the different things that we hear, you know, prophets galore. And I would say they weren't prophets, but, you know, there you go. Basically say, you know what, the end is here. You know, this is the end of the world on this date or that date. You have economic prognosticators saying, hey, you know what, economically we're going to melt down. This October there's going to be a financial surprise. They're going to yank the financial world out from under us. They're going to this. They're going to that. And others say, you know what, you're going to have a food crisis. It's going to be a famine in the land. And others say, and there's been doomsday prophecies for my whole life under one machination or another. And I look at it and I say, you know what, they just don't come true. Now, does that mean that biblical prophecy will not happen? I'm not saying that. Of course, biblical prophecy will happen. But our interpretation, as you wisely point out, is leaves a lot to be desired. We can't even determine what the weather is going to be tomorrow, folks, as a society.
Yep.
Okay? So let's be very clear. It's us. I'm not saying it's God. God's right. The prophecy will occur. It will go down exactly as God intended. Make no mistake about that reality check. However, in the meantime, it's a situation where our interpretation could seriously be lacking. And I would say that's the starting point, as Becky pointed out. But every time we jump on the bandwagon, vaccines are going to kill everybody. Well, I believe the vaccines are evil. I wouldn't put that toxin in my body. But at the same time, everybody's not dead. Okay? I mean, if the doomsday scenarios about vaccines were all to come true, everybody on the planet would be dead by now. So I only step back from that, not to say that these things aren't serious, but to say that if we overreach too much in our claims, we lose credibility too. So we need to step back. We need to trust God. We need to depend on our own interpretations a little less. And what we really need to focus on, in my mind, is the things that we can do something about, the things that we can actually make a difference regarding. I can't change the vaccine plan by the government, but I can sure as heck not take it. I can't change the mask policies, but I can sure do my best not to wear masks and to not go places that force masks on us. Okay, so let's step back and focus on what we can make a difference regarding, and then best and most important, how we can affect that difference. There's good ways and bad ways to go about affecting that change that we so desperately need, Becky. I think it's wise not to predict timing, not to predict details. Certainly will the fiat currency fail? Absolutely. But exactly when and how and where and what, I don't know. And every time you make a claim, you lose credibility when it doesn't come true. We'll come back and have Becky respond. Then I want to jump into Ammon Bundy and what he's been doing and the battle that he's experiencing. We'll talk about it in detail with Becky Akers on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio. So, Becky, I'm just saying that, hey, whenever we predict timing on a lot of these things, we take too much responsibility onto our own hands. I don't know exactly what will happen when. I just know this. They're literally attacking liberty everywhere we are, everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say, and we've got to push back and stop it. The question is, how do we, in an effective way, without jeopardizing credibility, how do we not overreach and make our statements just as false as theirs because we think we know more than we know, etc.? An interesting balance to highlight, don't you think?
Yes, and there's a corollary to this, Sam, although I'm getting rather far afield as I mention it. But just as we cannot accurately interpret many biblical prophecies without hindsight, you know, you read the Bible, it's very easy to see that Christ is the Messiah, And you sit there and you think, well, how could they have been so stupid in the first century? They didn't see this. He was fulfilling all the signs, and yet they didn't. And we need to have some humility when we approach questions like this, because we are the same. We're making undoubtedly a lot of mistakes, different thoughts on what Revelation is all about in Daniel. The flip side of all that, however, is that I find prophecy in the Bible to be a wonderful affirmation that the Bible is indeed what it claims to be, the direct and inspired Word of God. There is no human way to explain the prophecies that have been accurately fulfilled to the letter, and there are hundreds of them. Anyone who is even passingly familiar with the Old Testament will know that there were numerous prophecies, not just about the Messiah, but about Israel as a nation, about various other nations, such as Edom, such as Persia, such as the Medes, various prophecies that were fulfilled to the letter. It really helps if you get a commentary when you want to read the prophetic books. If you know ancient history, that's a boon, because you will be able to see exactly what was being prophesied and how it was fulfilled. There are even Cyrus. There are mentions of specific names in the Bible of kings and emperors who would fulfill the biblical prophecy. Cyrus is one. It's just uncanny. It cannot be human, because any of us, if Sam, you tell me what's going to happen next week. What are going to be the headlines in the papers? Is Ukraine going to go to war with Russia? Is the United States going to jump into that? None of us can accurately predict something like that. We certainly can't give details about, well, this many ships are going to be there and this many troops are going to be congregating on the border.
The only thing I can do, Becky, if I'm the only thing I can do if I'm responsible is pray the answer is no.
Exactly. But the Lord lays out time after time after time in the Bible, he tells us exactly what's going to happen, and he tells us all the details of it. So anyone who tries to challenge the Bible and anyone who challenges Christianity is going to have to face that hurdle. How do you account for this? How did this happen if the Bible is not the inspired word of Almighty God? How do you explain the hundreds of fulfilled prophecies to the letter with astounding details? How do you explain that? But anyway,
it's impossible, and that's why I use it. That's why I use it to testify of Christ and focus on, look, the Bible is true. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. He lives today. And he basically lays out, I think the most important for us is, he lays out the way to live. He lays out the way that we can be self-governed if we obey a few simple laws. Try the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself, and then the Ten Commandments. Put that together in kind of a governing values for your life, if you will. And he teaches us the way to live. And then he promises us if we live that way, we shall have liberty. Becky?
That's right. And he tells us how to be reconciled with Almighty God, a holy God who cannot look on sin. And all we need to do is trust Christ and thank him for his sacrifice on the cross in our place. It's all that's required to be reconciled with a holy God who cannot tolerate sin. And that's all that's required to spend eternity with him. You know, Sam, I'm always impressed with what a gentleman God is. He is not going to require anyone who hates him, anyone who doesn't want any part of him, to spend eternity with him. He's going to say, well, then depart from me. I don't know you. And what more could any atheist ask than to be left alone by God? God will give him exactly what he wants. But if you think that spending an eternity apart from the Lord is a desirable thing, you don't know anything about hell.
Yeah, the saying goes, be careful what you wish for, huh?
That's just it.
Might come true there now. Be careful. All right, but you know what? There are things we can do to advocate for the sacred cause of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We can live our lives according to God's law. He promises us biblically that if we keep his commandments and turn to him and repent, then he will heal our land, then he will protect us. I don't know of any, I mean, I don't want to debate how great promises are, but I don't know of any greater promises than you'll protect me and heal my land. It sounds like a wonderful, wonderful blessing, but we must do what he asks. Okay? We must obey. One of the first laws of heaven is obedience. We must obey. And so that's interesting. Now, Ammon Bundy, and I want to dovetail this together because it's interesting. We may not be able to predict all the prophecies and decide exactly what's going to happen when and all that kind of stuff on a macro scale. But on a micro scale, we can make a difference. And I don't know if you're caught up on the Ammon Bundy story. I'm going to basically give you a little summary, Becky. Then we're going to play a big, long clip. I'm sorry it's so long. But I must play it because I believe this is kind of the tip of the spear in the liberty debate on the ground where people can make a difference right now. So Ammon Bundy lives in the state of Idaho. And as you know, Ammon Bundy is the one that took over the Mount Hare Wildlife Refuge. And basically, he served 2 years in jail, and he was guilty of nothing. The grand jury said he was guilty of nothing and let him go. They tased his attorney in court, Marcus Mumford. Then they basically dragged him to another court in Nevada. And eventually, the judge basically dismissed the case and said the government's too criminal. They withheld exculpatory evidence. They lied on the stand. The government's just too out of control. We got to dismiss the case. This is too egregious. Let him go. I believe, really, that was the claim, and I think that's all true, but I think the greater discussion is they didn't want all the evidence to really come out. They didn't want us to know who the agent government provocateurs were inside the Mount Hare Refuge with Ammon. They didn't want all the information to be drug out into the public, and so they dismissed it, but they admitted some fundamental truths along the way. Anyway, to make a long story short, Ammon's free with his family. He suffered for nothing. A speedy trial was out the window. Truly transparency and true discovery never happened. So the criminals walk free because there's no accountability on the government side of things when they lied and did all the dishonest, immoral things. For example, the government said they never pointed any guns at people. It turns out there was snipers on the hill pointing guns at innocent, unarmed Americans, and the government got caught lying about that. And the lies continue from there. But they're egregious, they're abusive, and Ammon told the truth, and really the courts vindicated him, which was a huge blessing. I digress, except to give you the backstory. That's Ammon Bundy. Great guy, doing a wonderful job. He was also at the Bundy Ranch when the government was trying to abuse them. And anyway, so all these cases culminate into now Ammon's free and guilty of nothing. Well, now Ammon's been trying to deal with the state of Idaho because the governor there, Mr. Little is his name, Brad Little, literally declared a state of emergency and then a state of extreme emergency, virtually putting the state of Idaho under martial law. Now, you don't feel like martial law because they're not taking the steps that, you know, martial law could entail, meaning putting, military vehicles in the streets and all this kind of stuff. But virtually, this declaration of emergency or extreme emergency, the martial law kind of deal, is based on the documents that government has laid out over time, where the governor gets all power. Simply sets the legislature on standby mode, et cetera, in the state. He did that because the federal government wanted him to. And the federal government wanted him to because they want to make these governors the ones accountable around the chopping block for the bad decisions made. Nevertheless, to make a long story short, because he declared an extreme national emergency, an extreme state of Idaho emergency, he then was able to get $8.1 plus billion dollars for the little state of Idaho, folks, $8.1 billion and maybe more to the state. Now, that's bad enough, right? But now the governor even made an order that said, and by the way, the spending of this money is at my, meaning the governor's, pleasure. I can spend this $8.1 billion however I want to because in an extreme state of emergency, I'm flat out in charge. Literally, Governor Brad Little becomes a kingmaker. So Ammon Bundy was going to go in August to the state legislature and advocate for accountability here. We've got to expose this. We've got to do something. Long story short, Ammon went back in August of 2020 to the state legislative Capitol building, and because he wouldn't wear a mask, they eventually arrested him. They didn't charge him with not wearing a mask because that's not against the law, as we all know, even though the governor tries to mandate it. But what they did do is they said he was guilty of trespassing. We'll talk about that with Becky Akers. Play a big old long soundbite from Ammon Bundy on an update, fast forward, if you will, and then we'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier. two Republican congressmen under investigation. The House Ethics Committee announcing Friday it's investigating New York's Tom Reed and Florida's Matt Gaetz. The New York Times reporting Gaetz is under federal investigation for sex trafficking and other allegations. Speaking in Florida at Trump Doral, Gaetz promises he won't back down.
I have not yet begun to fight for the country I love and for the nation that I know benefits from America First principles. I'm built for the battle, and I'm not going anywhere.
As for Reed, he's accused of sexually harassing a female lobbyist 4 years ago. He has apologized and says he won't seek re-election. Myanmar's military rulers announcing plans to hold elections in 2 years. Meanwhile, more violence between the military and protesters. There are reports that at least 10 people were killed Friday. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer being urged to retire. The liberal advocacy group Demand Justice launching an effort Friday to publicly pressure the 82-year-old to step down so President Biden can nominate a black woman. This is USA Radio News.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Cahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Religious liberty advocates claiming victory. The Supreme Court late Friday night rules 5-4 in favor of Bible study groups who claimed California's COVID restrictions violated their rights. More problems reported with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Georgia on Friday stops administering the vaccine after 8 people report side effects. The CDC investigating. USC professor of medicine David Agus telling ABC News we shouldn't overreact.
The current vaccines that are out there in the public work against all of the variants. The American public should rest assured that science is pivoting along with our knowledge to be able to take care of this. And the benefits of the vaccine tremendously outweigh any potential downside.
The CDC investigating similar issues in Iowa, Colorado, and North Carolina. Scientists alarmed by the number of dead whales washing up on the shores of the San Francisco Bay Area recently. The bodies of 4 gray whales found in 9 days, the latest on Thursday. One whale hit by a ship. Investigators looking into the other 3 deaths. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers breaking it down, talking about prophecy. Hard to interpret, devastating, problematic meltdowns of any kind, predicting when and where and how. In my mind, a fool's game. The key is to do what we can do, to influence what we can have influence over, and to advocate for what we can actually make a difference regarding. Predicting the weather, hard to do. Making sure that I keep the commandments of God, well, it's not certainly easy. That's what repentance is for, but it's certainly doable and something that we can advocate for. Something that we will and should advocate for, something that really makes a difference in people's lives, not only on an individual level, but on a family level and on a societal level, as we learn to keep the commandments of God. And if we do, if we turn to Him and repent and work at keeping His commandments, He promises us that He'll heal our land and protect us. What incredible promises when you really think about it. Heal your land, what does that mean? Well, you can go off on a study about that, but I'm telling you, the promises are glorious and great. When we follow Jesus Christ, wonderful things happen, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I digress, except to say Ammon Bundy has been fighting this good fight for a long time. And instead of getting into the prophecy and the stuff that we don't have control over and or enough knowledge about in many ways, Ammon Bundy is fighting on the ground saying, look, this governor, Little, Brad Little, just cannot turn the state of Idaho into like a kingship, a dictatorship. He just can't become king, garner $8.1 billion from the feds, and then say he can spend it however he wants to. So Ammon Bundy, back in August, went without a mask to the state capitol, got arrested a couple of times. Then there's been a big litigative reality ever since. Long story short, the government admitted they didn't have proper authority, and they dropped a bunch of the cases against Ammon. I say a bunch of the cases because, well, over the last couple of days, he just got arrested again, twice in one day, matter of fact. over the same various issue of trespassing. So here's what happened. He was supposed to go to court because, of course, the court case just lasts forever. Speedy trials are out the window. In fact, they've suspended trials in Idaho to a great degree. You just can't get before the courts, okay, because of the COVID, don't you know? That's the way they're taking away all liberty. Anyway, I digress, except I'm telling you that so Emmett Bundy goes to the court because he's ordered to go to court, right? He gets there. They won't let him in because he won't wear a mask. Then what they do is they say he failed to appear. See, he didn't go into the courtroom and appear. Well, he didn't go because they wouldn't let him in. Why wouldn't they let him in? Because he wasn't wearing a mask. Why wasn't he wearing a mask? Because he says it's not a law and you can't make me wear a mask. There's not been a legislative body that have passed a mask law. Well, I know, but the governor, hey, you know, in an emergency, look, it's well over a year. He doesn't have emergency authority, folks. He has 30 days. And then if he really needs to, 30 days more at most, even according to the Idaho state law, he doesn't have authority to mandate masks. There is no law. So the debate rages on. They say that Evan Bundy didn't show up in court. Anyway, the bottom line is he goes to the Capitol to try to figure all this out. He gets arrested twice in one day. Here's the narrative, according to Ammon. It's a little bit long, but we've got 2 hours, thank heavens, with Becky. And you would say, Sam, why go through this big thing and not let Becky talk? I'll tell you why. Because I want to catch Becky up on this story. And the reason I want Becky completely caught up on this story is, number one, she's an author and she's a writer. But number two, and most importantly, I consider Liberty Roundtable one of the greatest think tanks on the planet right now. And I consider Becky Akers one of the greatest thinkers on the planet, too. Because not only do you got to be really intelligent to think well, but you got to have a God world view to be a great thinker, in my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. Okay, you got to be able to put God's perspective, at least our understanding of it. I know we don't speak for God, but we can certainly use our faith in Christ as part of the guidance on this. But Becky's one of the greatest thinkers, folks. And I want to get her take. You know what? We can't solve all the problems of the world. We can't influence, prophecy and decide prophecy and figure it all out. What we can do is make a difference on the ground where we are. What we can do is fight for liberty. And I believe that Ammon Bundy is one of the people on the tip of the spear doing this and incredibly well. So anyway, long story short, here's a little bit more of what Ammon says is happening. And then we'll start to discuss it in detail with Becky Akers. The clip, please.
I have had an interesting day. I been arrested twice today. And I'm either completely stupid and crazy, or we have a huge problem. Because I know that it's not just Idaho. I know that it's all over. And I don't want to, drag this on too long, but basically, many of you know, in August, I went to a special legislative session at the Capitol building in Idaho, where the governor was trying to make himself immune from the COVID decisions and all the terrible things he's done to Idaho. The governor's received, we know, of $8.1 billion. He put the state of Idaho under martial law, under code 46601, which basically says that all the government of Idaho is under the governor. And then he did exactly what the federal government wanted him to do, and he's received $8.1 billion, and he has made his own proclamation saying that he gets to spend that money at his pleasure. And if you don't believe me, go to his Order 2020-07, Governor Little of State of Idaho, Order 2020-07, where he says that he's putting together this committee that serve at the pleasure of the governor, and the governor's office is going to spend all the coronavirus funds that they received from the federal government, which is $8.1 billion that we know of. He suspended the rest of the Idaho government, the legislatures, and he's basically running amok here in Idaho. And so in August, this was months ago, this was 8+ months ago, he tried to pass a bill that would make himself immune from any of his COVID decisions. And we went, and the governor and the Speaker of the House targeted me. And originally thought it was the pro temp as well in the Senate, but we've kind of realized with all the discovery and all the letters and emails and facts and stuff that we've got through discovery, we We now know that it was the Speaker of the House and the governor. And they targeted me and had me arrested in August twice and trespassed me from the Capitol building. They did that so that I wouldn't, you know, influence the legislatures to end the emergency orders and the martial law that the governor has put the state of Idaho in, so that he can continue to receive billions of dollars and have the government under his control. And that's what this is all about. So, you know, then I began to fight my case. Many of you know they denied us a trial for months and months and months, clear from August 2020 to March 15th, 2021. They wouldn't give us a trial because they said the jury trials have been suspended in Idaho. Imagine that. Jury trials have been suspended in Idaho. Then, because we kept pushing and insisting that we get a trial, finally, 7 months later, they give us, actually more than that, but yeah, I know about 7 months later, they give us a trial date on March 15th, and we go to show up at the trial, and they arrest us for not coming in without a mask. We were down there, they wouldn't let us in, and they give a warrant for failure to appear for me and myself and Aaron, one other guy who's going through this with me. So we go to the courthouse, we try to get in, they will not let us in, they block us from coming in, and then they file a warrant for our arrest for failure to appear to our own trial. So anyway, that happened. We also have been, you know, fighting and litigating, and we found that there was a bunch of corruption in what happened when they arrested me, of course. And we found clearly that the director of administration didn't have authority. He was acting basically as a pawn for the governor. But he didn't have authority to trespass us in the Senate gallery. So to make a long story short, we exposed that, uncovered it, we filed a motion, and we had that charge dismissed. So now I only had one charge, one trespassing charge. Well, so then today, I had a meeting over there by the Capitol building, and I thought, well, now that that trespassing charge has been dismissed, and that was the only written authority that they claimed, and also we knew that Bedke, the House Speaker of the House, didn't have authority, so I'm going to go into the Capitol building, and I'm going to find out what authority they have, like, and I'm going to test it. So I went in there, and ultimately the ISP surrounded me, and I asked them, you know, by what authority are you doing this? And they couldn't answer me. They wouldn't answer me. And they put handcuffs on me and arrested me, drug me out of the Capitol building, took me down to Ada County. The entire time I'm asking, you need to show me authority. You don't have proper authority. You need to show me the authority in which you are trespassing me for. And they wouldn't and couldn't. So then I sat in the cop car at the jail in the little Sallyport area. I sat in there quite a while, and I could tell that they were doing something, going back and forth. And then on their computer in the front seat, I noticed that the administrative, the director of administration, which is Keith Reynolds, I noticed that the letter that he trespassed us with showed up or popped up on the screen. And then I when they came, I asked them, well, what authority? And they said, the authority under the director of administration, that's what we're arresting you for. Well, that case had been dismissed. That is the very case that had been dismissed because of, you know, they didn't have authority in the first place, and the court had to, or the prosecutors had to recognize that, and they dismissed the case. And so he's telling me that he's getting authority to arrest me now. This is what the ISP officers, they're getting authority to arrest me now because of a case that's been dismissed. And so, you know, I was like, wait a minute, that isn't right. So they booked me and did all the things, and I bailed out, got a ride, went right back to the Capitol building, and sat there. I went up on the Senate side and sat in the Senate, right by the Senate entrances, just sat there. And here comes Idaho State Police Blake Higley, who is the governor's personal security sergeant. And he comes over there and he basically says, round two, huh? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm just wanting to know what authority you have to trespass me on. And he says, he couldn't give it to me. And then he went over and he started talking on the phone for a little while. And I'm just sitting there. And then he comes back over and I said, so did you find out what authority you're trying to trespass me on? Because he said, at this point, he said I was detained. And he says, I don't need authority. That's what he says. I don't have to have authority, I think was his exact words. I don't have to have authority. So you're just going to, like, trespass me, put me in handcuffs, drag me out of the Capitol building during a session. I want to, during a session and during normal business hours, it was fully open, you're going to drag me out of the Capitol building again in handcuffs for the second time in one day, and you never had authority and you couldn't quote authority. So then I said, well, does a person have a right to protest in the Capitol building? And he says, yeah. I said, so why are you arresting me? And then he says, well, we're arresting you for trespassing. And I said, well, what then, who, by whose authority? Because it's very clear in Idaho law that you have to have the proper authority from either the Speaker of the House, the pro tem for the Senate, or the administration, depending on where you're at in the Capitol building. And so I'm asking, what authority? And he just couldn't answer me. He wouldn't answer me. The only answer he gave me when it comes to authority is that he didn't need any. He didn't need any authority to arrest me. So anyhow, now I have been arrested 5 times now. 5 times for simply trying to participate in a representative government. And, you know, I don't know what else to do. I can't even get to a jury. The Idaho Supreme Court now has suspended jury trials again the very next business day after I tried to get into the courtroom. They suspended jury trials again. I mean, imagine that. That's a constitutional protected right. The right of the people to have a jury, a fair and public jury, a speedy and public jury. Now we're looking at 8+ months. I've still never been given a jury, and I'm not going to ever get one. Really, it looks like that. And then when they set a date and I go to participate, they say that I have to comply to a mask and other things, which I can't morally do. And so we're in trouble. And I know that Idaho is not the same. Idaho is not the only place doing this. Idaho is not the only state. In fact, where the governor put the people of the state in a martial law situation. I mean, I want you to look up Idaho 46601, the code. It is a martial law code. And that code is the one that the governor has used to give authority to every one of his proclamations. And in that authority, or in that code, if you keep reading down, it'll say that all the government is under the governor, including the policing of powers of the state. It's complete dictatorship. It's complete dictatorship. And the thing about Idaho law is it only says that the governor can do certain things under martial law, and it only says that he can hold it for 30 days and then another 30 days if necessary. It doesn't say it can be indefinite. Now we've been in this martial law for almost 13 months. We're on close almost to 14 months. We're going on 14 months. We've been in martial law here in Idaho because of COVID. COVID, right? So anyhow, I just wanted to express my frustration because these are serious things. And I'm either so crazy that I've lost it, completely lost it, that I would go down and challenge these things and get arrested over and over and act like I should be able to have a jury trial, act like I should be able to have, you know, a fair shot at trying to defend myself against these criminals. Either I'm completely crazy or we've got a really, really big problem. And, you know, I've been trying to do my best.
All right, there you have it. All right, so Am and Buddy doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, he says, I'm either stupid and crazy or we got a big problem. And I would submit to you that he's not stupid. He's not crazy. He has every right to do the things that he's doing. The government has already put him in jail for over 2 years for being guilty of nothing. And the only people that have been exposed as fraudsters and criminals are governments at all levels. Becky, I'm sorry to take so much time to play that clip and kind of catch you up on this, but I want your initial thoughts on this story. It's a fascinating saga on the ground for reals in America today.
I think that poor Mr. Bundy is suffering from the same thing that the January 6th patriots are. These people are held in jail. They are persecuted. I imagine everybody saw the headlines about the one who was beaten to a pulp by his prison guards who said, we don't like white people. We don't like patriots. He didn't say it that baldly, but that was the intent. There's this idea that government is some sacrosanct institution. It should have its own buildings. I'd ask where in the Constitution the federal government is empowered to have buildings. In fact, the only land that the Constitution ever accords them the right to own is land on which forts are built, okay? They should not have these sumptuous halls that they do. They should not have this sumptuous capital from whence they can reign and rule us. But so many people have this idea that government is sacrosanct and that its buildings and its palaces cannot be trod by ordinary people, the very people who pay for it all, okay? We're just serfs. Our job is to pay for all of this. Our job is not to question what goes on in there. I would agree that Mr. Bundy did not trespass. It's impossible to trespass in something you're paying for. You own it. We own these halls. We are the ones paying for them. We are the ones paying the salary of the sociopaths that inhabit them. It is our house. Sam, I have long been in favor of suspending, in fact, abolishing the Secret Service. I would like to know why, when a politician rules against our interests, he should be protected and coddled. Why shouldn't he have to face angry mobs when he goes home to his constituents? Why shouldn't he have to be in fear of his life if he passes laws against our interests and against our freedom and against our pocketbooks? There is nothing. I mean, government is a collection of criminals, of thieves and murderers and liars. There is no reason that these people should be protected, that they should be allowed to arrest us when we go to tell them, as Mr. Bundy did. He's trying to warn them, you are violating the highest law of the land. Why should that man suffer for having spoken truth to power? So I have really reached the point, Sam, where I don't think I admire Mr. Bundy tremendously. He's a very brave patriot, but I don't think that our problems are going to be resolved with his courage. I think it's going to take a shooting revolution similar to our first revolution to get rid of this problem.
Sadly, because of the tyrannical nature of bureaucrats, you may be correct, Becky. I know this, though. We are doing all we can to advocate for peaceful solutions. Ammon Bundy doing the same thing to try to rein them in before it ever comes to that. So let this document the record of our peaceful desires and intent. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not wimpy on this. You know what? Come what may, we must do what we must do. I get it, but I want to be the guy that leads with the peace offering, leads with the way we can solve this peacefully. Ammon Bundy doing the same thing. And so if it comes to what you're saying it will probably come to, Becky, let it be them that forces that reality, not us. But let it be us to stand for liberty as we must.
We are getting to the point, Sam, I am deathly afraid. We are approaching the point where we're either going to have to respond with force to their various provocations, or the moment is going to pass. Biden's gun control executive orders are just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more of that where those executive orders came from. They are trying to disarm us. That and the mandatory vaccine should be our line in the sand. when they come to your home for your, actually they won't come to your home for your guns. They will do it technologically. There will be, you know, since they control the banks, you won't be able to withdraw your money from your account, your ATM, unless you have turned over your guns and you have a little certificate or an app from them. It's very easy. They control so much of society. They can make us dance any way they want to. So this should be our line in the sand. When they try to disarm us, and they will, most definitely, when they try to disarm us or when they try to administer their vaccine because it may contain chemicals or hormones or something that will make us, will render us inoperable, whether it disables us, whether it kills us, whether it simply alters our personality or our DNA so that we become compliant instead of rebellious. These are the two lines in the sand I think all patriots need to adopt. No disarming, no vaccine.
Well, Rand Paul and others are calling it Joe Biden's gun control crown jewel, as you wisely point out. And I know the founding fathers, a lot of people believe the revolution only took, you know, a few years or whatever, but it was in the making for literally decades before that. And the patriots were very patient. With King George and Britain and that kind of stuff. It really wasn't until King George said, we're coming for the guns, we're going to disarm you, that the Patriots said, oh, no, you're not. You know what? We've had a lot of patience with you, but you know what? When you start to take away our ability to defend ourselves, if we let this line be crossed, we'll never be able to defend ourselves and advocate for freedom again. And so that was kind of the line in the sand the founding fathers drew. And sadly, because of Joe Biden, we're getting close to that now, Becky.
Yeah. I it's amazing to me, Sam. I think he is trying to provoke a revolution. That's the only thing I can think. He's trying to provoke armed resistance. And I'm not sure why. There are an awful lot of armed people in this country. We have more guns in this country than we do residents. If they try this, there are, 2 million active duty soldiers, something like that. Throw in the cops, you've got another million. So there are 3 million, and that's presuming that all of them side with the government. I don't think that'll happen. But there are 3 million of them, and oh, yes, they have very sophisticated weaponry, and oh, yes, they're trained. But remember that a militia of farmers and shopkeepers defeated the most powerful army on earth in the 1770s. So when people are fighting for their homes and their livelihoods, government has taken away our livelihoods. They're trying to destroy our society, our economy. When people are fighting for their homes and their livelihoods, they have a lot more passion than hired mercenaries. So why the Democrats are trying and the Marxists are trying to provoke war in this country, I don't know, but it is a fact that they are. And we had better stand up, and the time to stand up is going to be sooner rather than later, because by the time they've got our guns, that ends our possibility of revolt.
So Biden's gun control crown jewel, ladies and gentlemen, is really the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, is what it's called. The United Nations Small Arms Treaty. Now, Joe Biden also pushing for a global tax. I don't know if you saw that. So what they're trying to do now is say, we realize that state government's melting down, federal government's melting down. People are getting sick of it and starting to push back. What we're going to do is play the global government card, global governance card, to try to quell the folks who fight back. That's where this is headed. When we come back, we'll talk about that a little more with Becky Akers. I also want to talk about this article in USA Today, Everybody's a White Supremacist. We'll talk about that. And they say we're all hate groups, but yet they're the ones firing shots and killing people, right? They're the ones withholding exculpatory evidence in court. They're the ones arresting people and claiming they don't even have to have any authority. Ladies and gentlemen, I can say one word for the end of the hour, or one phrase. God save the Republic.